Hello, and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Osband, here with my friend and chavruta, Ann Gordon. Our daf today, Masechet Shabbat, Pei Tet, 89. So today was one of these days where Ann and I reviewed the daf, and we both wanted to talk about the same thing. So I think we're going to do some reading of a really beautiful Agadata that appears on this page. There is a lot to talk about here, but we're going to choose one of the Agadatot, and then we'll sort of have a discussion afterwards. We won't get to, there's also a new Mishnah on this page where we leave the topic of the Asmachtot, you know, those Mishnahs that really had nothing to do with Shabbat, but instead were grouped together because using the Asmachta to explain a halacha. And we actually move back on to our topic of Shabbat. So tomorrow, I assume we're going to talk about Shabbat again, but today we'll enjoy one more day in Agadata land for now.
Okay. We begin here with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is one of the Balei Agadah, as you're doing. I'm sure you'll enlighten us at some point, perhaps not today. He teaches halacha, but his voice comes up often enough in Agadah. Va'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. B'sha'ashi yarad Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're talking still about Matan Torah, the events at Sinai. At the time that Moshe went down before God, Ba Satan v'amar lefanav. So Moshe is coming down from having just received the Torah, and the Satan, and this is going to take us into a big discussion of what exactly is the Satan, but first let's just translate. Ba Satan v'amar lefanav. The Satan comes and says before him, meaning before God at the time that Moshe was leaving. Ribono shel olam, Torah heichan hi. God, master of the universe, where is that Torah? Amar lo, God says to him, to the Satan, Nitatia la'aretz, I gave it to the land. I gave it to the earth. Halach etzel eretz. So then the Satan goes to the land. Amar la, Torah heichan hi. And the Satan says to the land, to the earth, where is this Torah? Amra lo, she says, it says, the land says to him, Elokim hevin darka v'gomer. So the earth answers with a verse, which is that God understands its ways. And this is a pasuk from Iyov, from the book of Job. And that is not an accident. And we'll come back to exactly why Job is exactly the right book to bring proof text from for this discussion. We'll come back to that as well in a few moments. Halach etzel yam. So now the Satan goes to the sea. Va'amar lo, Ein imadi. And the sea says, it's not with me. Halach etzel tahom. He goes, the Satan goes to the depths. Amar, whatever that exactly means, right? That's a space term, really, as far as I'm concerned. Amar lo, ein bi, it's not here, it's not in me. Shne amar, tahom amar lo bi hi v'yam amar ein imadi. Right, so this is another verse from Iyov, again from Perek Kaf Chet, from chapter 28, where it says very explicitly, tahom, the deep says, it's not in me, and the sea says, it's not with me. Avdon v'mavet amru ba'azneinu shamanu shmi'a. So this is another verse, again, from the same chapter, a few psukim later. Destruction and death said, we heard a rumor of it in our ears. Chazar v'amar lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Satan went back to speak before God. Ribono shel olam, chipasti b'chol ha'aretz v'lo matzatia. Master of the universe, I looked in the whole earth, the whole world, and I didn't find it. Amar lo, lech etzel ben Amram. So God says to the Satan, go to the son of Amram, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, the son of Amram. Halach etzel Moshe, amar lo, Torah shnatan lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heichan hi. So the Satan is now talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Satan says, that Torah that God gave you, where is it? Amar lo, now Moshe says to him, v'chimani shnatan li HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah. So Moshe kind of evades the question. He sidesteps it and says, and who am I that God is going to give the Torah through me? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. God now says to Moshe, he's getting into the act. God says to Moshe, Moshe, badayata, right? Moshe says, what are you joking? Are you making things up? Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, chamda gnuza yesh lecha she'ata mishtasheya ba b'chol yom, ani achzik tova latmi. So Moshe says before Hashem, again, Master of the Universe, you have this treasure, this hidden treasure, in which you take great pleasure, delight in every day. What, and the implication then is, and you're going to give it to me, right? Should I take credit for it? Should I be the one to take credit for myself that you opted to give it to me? Meaning there's a gift going on here. It's not something that Moshe, in his own right, as far as he's concerned, it's not that he earned it. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So God says to Moshe, Ho'il umi'atata atzmacha tikare al shimcha. Shemar zichru Torah Moshe avdi v'gomer. So Hashem says to Moshe, the fact that you kind of put yourself down in this case, that you were self-deprecating, that you removed yourself from the glory of the Torah, it will be known in your name, namely Torah Moshe. And there's another verse to that, although that verse is now from Malachi, the book of Malachi. Okay, now.
Where do we want to begin?
This is a really... So let's go... I want to go back to talk about this notion of the Satan so as a
Can I just
being.
Say something about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? I mean, we'll talk about him at another time. But, you know, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi sort of this... He's an Amora, lives in Eretz Yisrael, but has connections to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So he's sort of like a bridge Amora as how I would describe it. We'll talk about him, I think, at a later time when we see a story of him. There's a lot of stories of him where he's with Eliyahu Hanavi. And even some of those stories were sort of collected in a smaller book, or sometimes kind of called Masa de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, or, you know, Masacha Gan Eden v'Gehenem. So we'll talk about him when we get one of those stories with him in Eliyahu. But yes, he's definitely certainly known for a lot of these types of agadatot.
Okay. So let's talk about the Satan for a moment, because, right, I think to any ears that have had any exposure to Christianity hear the word Satan and associate it with Satan, meaning the devil, meaning a whole separate kind of identity to this character, right? And I say character, figure, entity, however we want to look at it. The idea that there is, you know, an evil power in the world whose name is the Satan is not considered traditionally a Jewish idea. So the question then is, what is the Satan? Where does the Satan come from? And what is the Satan doing in our story here? So let me first, just recall that the Satan makes an appearance, first and foremost, really, as a person, as a personality, in the book of Eov. The first two chapters of the book of Job talk about how Eov is perfect, blame-free, he's got a wonderful life, and God kind of shows him off to the Satan and says, did you ever see my servant Eov when you were out there, you know, roaming all over the earth making mischief? Did you ever see my servant Eov? He's so perfect. And the Satan says to God, all right, you know, just give me a minute here and I will make his life a living hell. And then he will curse you, right? Meaning then he will not be such a faithful servant to you. And that never happens. Meaning, yes, God gives the Satan carte blanche with, of course, which makes the whole question like what God functions on the dare from the Satan, which is another good question. But what happens? The Satan makes Eov's life a living hell. And Eov is miserable, but he does not ever turn around and curse God. The most he comes and his friends hack him about it and say, listen, you know, you must have done something wrong. You must be getting punished here. And Eov says, no, really, I did not. And the fact is, we know that really he did not. And at the end of the day, meaning at the end of a very long book of Eov, basically Eov says, no, God, what, why, right? He doesn't curse God, but he does ask why. And God's answer is, you were not there when I created the world. You do not get to know my ways in this world, right? Which is a very difficult answer to somebody who is, you know, God's faithful servant, for starters, right? The idea is, I think, that there are things in this world, beginning first and foremost with the way God runs this world, that are simply incomprehensible to mankind. And that point comes out of the book of Eov, and that point comes out of this role of the Satan, that I would say that if you pay attention to all the many, many times that the Satan shows up in Sifrut Chazal, wherever the Satan shows up in Sifrut Chazal, it happens to be that those are places where we can then point and say, look, that's something that is incomprehensible to man. We see the Satan make an appearance with Chukim, right? Those are mitzvot for which we do not know the reason, which may not even have a reason. That's a machloket rishonim. That's a dispute amongst the scholars. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, this is something that is designed, apparently, to be incomprehensible to mankind. And those are places where, in Sifrut Chazal, the Satan comes and taunts and says, what are you doing these things? Like, why not eat pork, right? What's the big deal? And the answer is, well, pork is a chok. God gave us this mitzvah. We're going to keep it. But that's the role that the Satan ends up playing throughout Sifrut Chazal. And in a way that I think is consistent, meaning his appearance is consistent with, as I said, with instances or events that are really difficult that surpass human comprehension. Another one is the Akedah, right? How can it possibly be that Avram Avinu lives to this ripe old age? He has no son or no son with Sarah. And then when he finally does, he's called upon to sacrifice his son. And all the way through, there's Midrashim saying the Satan came to taunt Avram to get him to stop. Now, what is the Satan's role there? And the idea is that there's this kind of this accusation, this voice of accusation going on, even in one's head. There's one text that says, instead of saying Satan, the exact same text says Yetzer Hara, meaning the idea that we can question things that make no sense to us is, I think, what Chazal are pointing out, that every time there's something that makes no sense to us, that is really beyond our innate understanding, then that's where the Satan makes an appearance. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm going to say that Chazal are using this construct, as it were. It's not the same thing as saying there's another entity outside of God, right? Let's be careful with that. So what's happening here? With this Torah, right? We've been spending the past several days talking about the giving of the Torah, and this Torah is a challenge to humanity, right? On the one hand, it's wonderful, and on the other hand, God gave it to us, and what's in it? And the Satan shows up to say, where's that Torah? And we can then say, well, the Satan is saying, you know, prove to me this value of the Torah, prove to me the identity of the Torah, that there's something good here, that there's something even physical, right? At that point, the Torah is a matter of Moshe's teachings that he's going to bring to Bnei Israel. And it's not so surprising then to hear that there's going to be a voice of accusation saying, you know, what? Where is that Torah? Can you find it in the earth? Can you find it in the sea? Can you find it in the deep? And the answer is, no, it's not. God gave it specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu gives it to the Jewish people. Really? But what about this earth? Is it so far removed? Is it such a gift from God that we can't even understand? Again, I say that the Satan appears here in a way to highlight the fact that there is something going on here that is beyond human comprehension, including the giving of the Torah through man, right? To Moshe, to Bnei Israel, that we are now expected to keep it in a way that is, you know, almost, or at least suggested by the Satan, almost beyond us.
So I think you brought up a lot of beautiful points about this Agadata. And to me, the tension that's being created here is, you know, first of all, I think it's a very important point what you say about the Satan, that it's not the Christian Satan. And we really have to remember that as we read the story. And that I think, again, like you beautifully explained, the concept of the Satan in Agadata is really sort of to be the foil for what's incomprehensible to the human experience. And when I read this story, what it reminds me of is, I love this imagery of like the Satan sort of looking in the earth, looking in the depths, looking in the sea to actually find the Torah itself. And some of that to me is like, what is the Torah? Is it this, you know, we know that it was a physical thing. It was the Luchot itself. But yet, you know, as we mentioned, actually, when we did that Zoom class, you know, it's part of creation. And, you know, it was supposed to be significant that it was given that Matan Torah actually took place on Shabbat itself, because I think it was viewed as part of creation itself. And you're sort of holding a few different things at the same time, that the Torah is part of creation. It was part of the vision of what creation was meant to be. But yet at the same time, it's given to man. And I think what the Satan is sort of doing is, well, if it's part of creation, then why is it not part of the earth? Why is it not part of the sea? Why is it not given to the depths? And then the other thing, and I think it's very significant that Moshe is not called by his name here, but he's referred to as Ben Amram. It's emphasizing the piece that the Torah was given to a person that's going to die, that's not eternal, that's not really sort of part of the the cosmos. You know, it's not a celestial being who was given the Torah. It was given to people, people who sin, people who make mistakes, people who are going to mess up. And to me, that's a little bit, I may not be articulating this well, but I think that some of what this story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is trying to explore here. How could it be that we as humans, and even somebody who is as perfect as Moshe, Moshe's still a Ben Amram, he's still human, he's still going to die. How is it that we were deserving of receiving the Torah, right? Why was it not part of other pieces of creation? And I think this also sort of explores, where do humans fit in creation itself, right? Where are we, how are we part of creation, right? On the one hand, there's the piece of creation, which is about, you know, the Shamayim, the Aretz, the animals, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And yet still at the same time, there is sort of this centrality to creation of man. We're an very important part of that story, even though there are things that are so much bigger than us and so much more unknown than us, and that outlast us, right? We're each of us are born and each of us are going to die. And I think maybe that's why I'm not even articulating it well, because that's part of what's incomprehensible to this story, is why was the Ben Amram actually deserving of the Torah itself? It should have gone to the cosmos. That's where the Torah actually belongs. And I think that's why the Satan doesn't look with humans first. And that's what is trying to be explored here. So can we sit with both of those things, that it's part of creation, but yet it's given to man? And does that make man sort of like the center of creation itself?
Yeah. So also, I just want to note, I think this goes exactly with what you're saying, but there's also this backdrop of a statement, you know, I wish I had actually looked up where it first appears, istakel ba'oraita ubare alma, that God looked into the Torah as if it's a blueprint for the world, and then he created the world from it. So then it makes perfect sense to go look in the earth, go look in the sea, to find out where is the Torah that is supposed to be there, right? Because that's how the earth and the sea came to be, right? And the answer, I think, is that as much as we can say that, yes, as much as God created the Torah and gave it to the people and created the world and gave it to the people, so to speak, right? I think that there's something very different in the experience of the Torah that is given to mankind, right? That the earth is here and we should please God treat it well, but it is not the same phenomenon, right? The earth is here with or without people. The Torah is not a thing. It's not kept. It might be a thing, but it's not kept without the people. It doesn't have that kind of meaning without people doing mitzvot, right?
Oh, I love that, Anne. I think that's a really, that's a real thing to think about. That in other words, like here you have a perfect God who creates, not that I would say it's a perfect world, like, but I think it's not perfect because of us humans, but in other words, but has this act of creation that happens, which is an expression of God's perfection. But yet the Torah, which I think we also would say is, you know, that's exactly what the Torah is that it's that meeting of the perfection of creation with imperfect man. And they meet through the Torah. The Torah could not be given to the earths or to the sea or the depths. It can only be given to man.
But that also explains, I think, why the Satan thinks to go look in the earth and go look in the sea and say, where is that Torah of God, right? And this is the part, I think, that at some point we have this incomprehensibility, right? Like if you're a human being and you're thinking about the fact that God, the absolute infinite God, gave the Torah to finite man. And there we have straight away, we've got incomprehensibility. Like, how do we merit it? And that's the whole story of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he says, you know, who is he? Right. And if he's supposed to be the greatest of all people, so if who is Moshe, then who are the rest of us, right? That we should merit the Torah. And lo and behold, there's the Satan saying, like, oh, wait, I'm going to find the Torah amongst mankind. I'm going to go find it from Ben Amram. Really? And the answer is yes, exactly. That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I never articulated it that way. But that's definitely a theme I'm going to come back to, that, you know, about the perfect Torah being given to imperfect man and not being able to be given to anybody else. Or to anything else on earth. So I think we'll stop here because that flew by. that was a good 20 minutes. So with that, we'll end with that's our tap for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbanit Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. We'd love to hear from our fellow learners. What did you think of this Agadita and some of the mystery behind creation and the giving of the Torah to Ben Amram, to man? And until tomorrow's daf, go and learn.